Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
With me. Malachi chapter number 3. Well, if you know your Bible, you know where I'm at, and you've already got quiet on me and died on me and said, man, why don't you preach on something scriptural tonight? I'm going to because it's in the Bible. Amen. And according to the Bible, it's up to the preacher to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And we just don't pull out little pieces of it and deal with little pieces of it, but we preach every bit of it. Now, I think that you especially that's been here for an extended amount of time will have to agree with the statement that I'm fixing. If you don't agree with nothing else I say tonight, I think you'll have to agree with what I'm fixing to say. This is a subject that I very rarely preach on. And probably in 18 years, honestly, you can probably count on both of your hands the number of messages that I've preached on the subject of giving. And it's just not something that I spend a lot of time on. I probably should, but I don't. And it's something that's got to be in your heart. It don't matter what any preacher says, until it's in your heart, then you'll never do it the way God wants you to do it. But I want to take the Word of God tonight and talk to you. Some of the things that I'm going to say I've said before, because there's just so much that you can say about this text and this subject. But I hope that we'll listen with an open mind and an open heart tonight and let the Lord help us. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Malachi chapter number 3, the Bible said in verse number 8. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd give us understanding from your word. I pray, God, that you'd guide every word that I say tonight. God, help me to say nothing, Lord, that you wouldn't want me to say, and only the words that you would have me to say, God. I pray that, again, you would give us understanding from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Some would view, and some does view, teaching or preaching on tithing as the pastor just begging for money or fussing about money. Some would say, well, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. And boy, you know, I've heard that statement. So many, preacher, I just can't afford to tithe. Well, can I just say something to you tonight? I can't afford not to tithe. And I just say it there, I can't afford not to tithe. It's hard for me to explain to you how 90% can go further than 100%, but it can. Can I just say that again? It's hard for me to explain how 90% can go further than 100%, but it can when it comes to tithe. I promise you it can. Matter of fact, me and Miss Stephanie a couple weeks ago was going over the budget for next year, and this week we'll meet again and finalize all of that and take it to the financial committee next Sunday. And we was looking at all of it, and I told her, I said, Miss Stephanie, some of this just don't make sense. I don't know how the Lord does what he does, but that's what God does. Amen. And when it comes to tithing in your home, I can't explain to you how 90% of your money will go further than 100% of your money, but I promise you it will. Whenever you come to the Word of God, there's three different types of giving in the Word of God. I'm going to preach on one of them tonight, and then I'll end up before the end of the year following up with the other two. But the first one is tithing tonight. That's the very basics. It's the elementary level of giving. Then there's a free will offering, and then there's a faith promise missions offering. And as far as that faith promise missions offering going into the new year, I'm going to be dealing with that a whole lot more, because one of our big emphases next year is going to be world missions. Now, whenever it comes to tithing tonight, a lot of people would say this, and I'll probably say this again before I'm done, but they'll say, "Preacher, that was under the law." Well, no, it was way before the law. Matter of fact, when you study tithing out in the Word of God, Abraham commenced it in Genesis 14. Jacob continued it in Genesis 28. Moses confirmed it in Leviticus 27. And Malachi commanded it here in Malachi chapter number 3. You may say, "Well, Brother Jonathan, why do you tithe tonight?" Let me give you three reasons, and now this is not the message, okay? So don't get your hope up when I give it to you real quick. I'm not done. Number one, because God said to. Now that's enough. I don't need to give you number two and number three, because God said to in His Word. Number two, because I want God's blessings on my life. Are you in? Number three, because I love Him. Because I love Him. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us to do what is right. God is interested in your money, not because He needs your money, but because He needs you to be faithful to Him, and because you need your money. Since you're important to God, your money is important to God. God is interested in how you secure it. He's interested in how you spend it. He's interested in how you share it. And He's interested in how you save it. I really believe that in all of my heart. Immediately, some people would say this: "Don't talk about money, preacher. Talk about something that's spiritual." That kind of statement shows just a lack of biblical knowledge and spiritual insight. Nothing is more spiritual than how you handle your money. It is the supreme test of where your heart truly is. What did the Bible say in Matthew chapter number 6? He said this: "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Don't talk about money, preacher. Talk about something spiritual. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. If all the evil in this world is directly or indirectly traced back to the love of money, then that means there's nothing more spiritual that we could talk about today than our attitude towards money. Can I get an amen right there? Than our attitudes towards money. But preacher, it's uncomfortable. Can I just say this? It's not uncomfortable to me to talk about it. But preacher, it's uncomfortable. I don't like it when the preacher talks about money. If that's true, you wouldn't have liked Jesus and His preaching. Amen. You wouldn't have. When He walked this earth, He gave 36 parables, and 16 of them had to do with our attitude toward money. Remember the story that Jesus told about the widow's mite? The Pharisees were giving their large offering, and the little lady gave her two mites. The whole story had to do with our attitude toward money. If God's not interested in money, then why include that story in the Word of God? You remember the story of Luke 16 of the unjust steward? That the whole story, and that whole story has to do with our attitude toward money. If God's not interested in it, then why did He include that story in the Word of God? What about the story of the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and asked what he had to do to be His follower. Jesus said this: "Sell all you have, come and follow me." But he couldn't do it, and he went away sorrowful because he didn't own his possessions. His possessions owned him. Did anybody hear what I just said? Because he didn't own his possessions owned him. You see, there's nothing wrong with having things as long as things don't have you. Amen. That whole story has to do with our attitude towards money. If God's not interested in money, then why is that story included in the Word of God? Clearly, God is interested in our money. I'll tell you who else is interested in your money. Are you ready? Satan. Satan is interested in your money. He's interested in what you do with it. It's his desire to keep you under a curse and in bondage. The best way he can do that is to affect your attitude toward money in a negative way. God is interested in your money. Satan is interested in your money. But you know who else is interested in your money? You. You are. You say, "Well, I'm not interested in my money." Yeah, you are. You're interested in your money tonight. Now, can I just say this to you, and I'm going to move on. I cannot make every person in this room give. Matter of fact, I don't look at tithing records. I don't ask for tithing records. Miss Stephanie will tell you that I've never come to her and asked for a tithing record. I've never said, hey, does this individual give or does that individual give? And with the Lord being my helper, I never will do that. Let me tell you the reason why. That's between you and God. That's between you and God. Now, I do know some churches that you know very well that they do regularly check the tithing records of the deacons and the leaders of their church. Now, I want to say this to you. I'm not going to do that. Let me tell you the reason why. It's between you and God. And if I have to hold you accountable in your giving, you're not even giving for the right reason. But I will say this. If you hold a position and you don't tithe, I sure wish you would resign for it or you would stop or you would start tithing. You said, preacher, that's awful strong. No, that's just the Bible tonight. That's just, you wouldn't go out and get drunk, would you? When an offering plate passed by, you wouldn't reach in and get money out of it, would you? Well, if you're not putting your tithe in, you know what God just said? You're a God robber. You might as well reach in. If you made $100 this week and you didn't put $10 in the offering plate today, you might as well reach in and got $10 out of it and stuck it in your pocket. It's the same principle. I'm preaching good tonight. I'm preaching real. I got better liberty tonight than I had this morning. I'm just telling you the truth. It's the Word of God tonight, and it's based off of that. I want to show you three groups right now that's in this room. Here's the three groups that's in this room. It's all mine when it comes to money. It's all mine. I worked, earned it, deserve it, and can do whatever I want to with it. When the offering plate goes by, they say, I can give if I want to, but I don't have to. If I feel led to give a dollar or 20 or 100, I will, but it's all mine. I can do what I want with it. And at the end of the day, you can do what you want because God gave man his own free will, but there is a judgment day coming that will stand before him. So there's the group that it's all mine. Then number two, there's the tithe belongs to God and the rest, that 90% is mine. In obedience, I will give him the 10% and with the rest, I'll do what I want to. Or number three, it all belongs to God. You either say it's all mine or it's the tithe belongs to God or everything that I have is his, the tithe and the rest of it. I return to him that he has commanded and he entrusts me with the rest of his money. Just because I return the tithe, that doesn't give me the right to do whatever I want to with the rest of it. Think about this. They pray about every expenditure and are good stewards of all of his money. And I want to say this to you tonight. Number three should be where all of us is. It's all his. You say, well, I worked, I earned it. Well, who give you the strength to work? Who give you the job that you've got? It all belongs to the Lord tonight. Matter of fact, every aspect of our life should be that way. Everything is his. Everything is his. I thought about this. There's a radical difference between the first two groups and the third group. These two say, I'm the owner and I share with God. First, I share with God when I want to. Second, I share with God because I have to. But the third is, it's all God's and he shares with me. And can I just say, that's the way we ought to be tonight. It's all his anyway. And he just lets me. You know what? God could have reversed this thing and said, you give me 90% and you keep 10%. You ever thought about that? He is God, by the way. And he could have done that, but he said, no, just give me 10% of it. Just give me 10% of it. I want to show you three simple things tonight. We'll go home. Number one, there's a definite proportion. When it comes to tithe, your tithe, I'm not talking about a free will offering. I'm not talking about faith promise missions giving. When it comes to our tithe tonight, there is a definite proportion. What is it? It's 10%. That's very easy to calculate. It's 10%. It's a definite proportion. And let me just go on, and I'll say several things as I go. The word tithe literally means tenth. It's 10%. It's God's perfect plan. The wisdom of God's plan, the wisdom of God planned for us, a method in giving that is completely fair and equal to everyone if they'll just obey it. Let me tell you the reason why. It's just 10%. It's 10%. God didn't say this one gives this much, this one gives this much. And it's not like the government when we hit a certain bracket, Are you? No, he said it's 10%, man. He said it's a definite proportion. Since the beginning of time, tithing has been God's method. God's people throughout history have maintained the practice of returning to God the first 10%. Some say, but preacher, that was under the law. No, God put that in the heart of his people long before the law was ever given in Genesis 14. They took all the spoils of the war, all their increase, and gave unto the priest for a continuation, watch this, of the work of God. Of the work of God. There's a definite proportion, the tenth. Abraham commenced it in Genesis 14. Jacob continued it in Genesis 28. Then Moses came along and God gave him the law in Leviticus 27 and Moses commanded it. A few hundred years later, Malachi confirmed it. Now think about this. As time goes on, Jesus came along and Jesus commended it. So who am I to cancel it? Who am I to cancel it tonight? Listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Jesus said you were right to have tithe, but you also should have done these other things. Tithing is the basic foundation of the Christian life. Let me say it again. Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. Moses commanded it. Malachi confirmed it. Jesus commended it. So who am I to cancel it? We are not anybody to cancel it tonight. There is a definite proportion. There is a definite proportion. It's always been God's method. He has always used his people to do his work. And you know what? Then that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to continue what God said. So there is a definite proportion. It's 10%. Now, I'm going to run a rabbit right here a little bit, but it's still in the context of the message. I've been asked this question. Preacher, if you trade around on something and sell it, how do you tithe off of that? Well, you may give it to you real quickly. If I bought something for $200 and sell it for $300, I tithe off of $100 because I made $100. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty simple, isn't it? You say, preacher, do you tithe off of your taxes? Well, no, because I pay taxes in. But if I did get taxes back, there's two ways you can look at that. It depends on how you give through the year. If you give through the year just off of what you bring home, then absolutely you need to give off your taxes that you get back. But the truth of the matter is this, in all honesty, you truly made that first number. The government just decided to take some of it. So if you made like Brother Robert, if your salary a month is $11,000, I mean, the bug business is good. Let's bring it down a little bit, reality, $10,000, okay? And you bring home $8,000, you just tithe off that $8,000. Really, in my personal opinion, you truly made $10,000. Somebody just took some of it. And because somebody else has just taken some of it, don't mean that you don't give God his portion also. Because the truth of the matter is this, you're probably not going to get every bit of that back at the end of the year. So really, a good rule of thumb is this, just tithe off of all of it. And when you do get some back, Just go ahead and give 10% of that to God too. You say, well, you're money hungry. No, I'm just telling you, you want God to bless you, do it and see what happens. So there is a definite proportion. Number two, watch this. There's a designated place. There is a designated place for your offerings to go. Where is it? It's the local church. That's where it's at. Your offering doesn't belong to Sister Wigglejawl on TV. Are you with me? That's not where your tithes belong to. The local church where you have your membership, or you are fed on a weekly basis, if not a member, that's where your offering or your tithe goes to. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10 said this. He said, bring you all the tithes into where the storehouse A reference to the Old Testament temple is what that is. Part of the temple was the storehouse. This was an agricultural society. When they harvested, they brought the first tenth of their wheat, corn, etc., and put it in the storehouse. When their herds gave birth, they took one out of the ten to the storehouse. It was used for the expenses of the temple. The tithe was brought to the place where the people worship. Today, that is the local New Testament church. That's where your tithe belongs to. It does not belong anywhere else. It belongs here. You know where my tithe goes to? It goes to Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I've said this many times preaching, and I'll say it again preaching on this subject. Anytime you want to see my tithe and record, Miss Stephanie knows that she's free to give it to you. I don't mind a bit. Go look at it. Ask her for it. I don't care. You want me to tell you the reason why? I've got nothing to hide. I've got nothing to hide. Go look at it. I've said this before, and I'm going to move and not get bogged down here. My wife and I has never had a conversation about tithing. I'm talking about all the way back to 25 years ago in 1999 when we got married. We've never had a conversation about tithing. Let me tell you what happened. We got married and we put our accounts together because we're one. Now, that's a whole other message within itself, okay? But we're one. We don't have separate accounts. We've got one account. Now, I got my squirrel account, and she's got her squirrel account, but we both know where each other's is, and if need be, I can go get hers, and I've got mine. Some of y'all catch that in a little while, and she can come get mine. Are you with me? We've got one account. And from the day we got married, the only discussion that we've ever had on giving is this one thing. If it's a special offering, two things. If it's a special offering, how much are we going to put in it? Because I will never ask you to give in a special offering and me not give in it also. Amen goes right. I'm the leader, man. I'm supposed to lead the pack. And number two, when it comes to giving to missions, how much we're going to give the world missions. But we've never had a conversation, man. From the day we got married, the first time we was at church, we wrote a check for our tithe, and it's always been and it always will be. Now watch this. Where does that go? It goes to the house of God. It goes, he should bring it to the house of God. The tithe was brought to the place where they worshiped, if you want to say it that way. We come together on God's day with God's people to study God's word, and we ought to bring with us God's tithe and give it to the church. I want to show you something, and I'm going to move on to the last thing. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 10 says this, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And the next two words is so interesting. Prove me. Prove me. That's an important phrase that means simply this. Put me to the test or try me. God says, put me to the test on this. Normally, we're not supposed to tempt God, but in this case, he says, it's an unconditional promise. Put me to the test. See if I won't bless you for it, and I will pass the test. Matter of fact, it's the only time in the Bible you'll find that God says, prove me. Try me. See what happens. Just put me to the test. Is everybody away? God says, put me to the test. See what happens. See what happens. I was picking on Brother Matt and Brother Mark and Brother Rodney just a little bit ago. And Brother Rodney's been in med gas school, if I'm saying that right, and he's fixing to have to take a 100-question test on med gas, and we was talking about it a while ago, and I was picking on him and was saying that he might be putting the test off because he knows that if he passes the test, he may have to get out of the office and go to Greensboro and run med gas lines, and we was picking back and forth, but you know what happens? After a certain amount of time in school, they say, I'm going to put you to the test to see if you can pass the test. God's saying this to you, put me to the test and see if I pass it. There's no other place in the Bible. Everybody awake tonight? There's no, you say, preacher, I sure wish you was preaching on something good. I am. Because it's in the Bible. So put me to the test. Try me and see what happens. See what I'll do. Just see. This morning, Madeline was getting ready, and you know, it never amazes me. There's, I can count real quick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 9 mirrors in our house that I can count real quick, but somehow, every Sunday morning, Brother Brian, there's one, and it's in my bathroom. Madeline was in there, and Victoria was in there, and Leslie was in there, and Olivia, she was just doing her own thing, and I guess she was still in bed. I don't know. She might have been outside smoking, but I don't think she was doing that. That's between her and the Lord, and if she was, it'll be between me too. But anyway, I told her, I said, look, girls, I got to get ready too, all right? I mean, I can't even brush my teeth. He's 14 hairs and one sink and 72 hairs in the other sink. And I don't know how they're not all bald. I don't know how I got off on this, but I'm just telling you, Brother Josh, I don't know how they're not all bald. But anyway, they finally, a couple of them went out, and it's just me and Madeline in there. And I said, you got to go to work tonight, don't you? And she said, yeah. She said, work for 3 days, and then I'm off for 8, thank goodness. And I said, well, all right then. I said, well, you want to hear my message tonight? I said, it's on one of the most controversial topics in America today. She said, oh, yeah. She said, what is it? And I said, giving. And she said, oh. You know, she thought, and I started to make this big post this week about Dr. Barker preaching on the most controversial subject in America tonight. Man, there ain't no telling who all would have come to church. I said, I'll tell you something, Madeline. She said, what, Dad? I said, I don't look at tithing records. And I said, you got a good job now. Make more money than Dad and Mom ever thought about making when we was your age. And the Lord's good to you. I said, I don't look at no tithing records. And I said, I'm not going to look at yours. I said, that's something between you and God. I said, I've taught you. We've told you that you should. But that's between you and the Lord. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. I tell you and remind you to tithe, not fussing at you, honey, but because I want God's best for your life. And I said, Madeline, you will never experience God's best for your life until if you're not, now if you are, that's between you and the Lord. If you're not, that's between you and the Lord. But until you give the way God says give. I said, you'll never experience God's best for your life. Now, I said, Madeline, I can go back. Me and Leslie got married in 1999, and in September of 99, we went. We gave our everything to the Lord in November of 99 and surrendered to whatever God wanted for our life. In January of 2000, we went with Rock of Ages Prison Ministries, and, man, I'm going to tell you, there was times that I didn't have a clue how we was going to make it. There's times that I'd be in the middle of nowhere and use a credit card to get back home with. And can I just tell you something tonight? And I told Madeline this morning. I said, it don't make sense. I said, but there was never a time that God didn't meet the need. There was never a time. Can I just testify for just a minute? There was times that I did use a credit card to get gas on to get back home because I didn't have the money in my pocket to do it. But at the end of the month, I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. I wasn't foolish and just put a bunch of nonsense on it. Are you with me? That's good preaching right there. There was never a time at the end of the month that God didn't pay the bill. I've never one time in 25 years of marriage, I've never one time paid one red cent of interest on a credit card. And let me tell you the reason why. Number one, because I'm not stupid in things I put on it. But number two, because I was obedient to God. And in those times running across the road, man, our support would come in from Rock of Ages. And you know what we done immediately? There was a definite proportion. We wrote that check out before we done anything else. Before we done anything else, we wrote that check out. We put it in the mail if we wasn't going to be at our church. We sent it to our church immediately. We sent it to our church, or we took it to our church and dropped it off. And then you know what? Throughout the month, every month, never ended. It never ceased to amaze me. Every time God met every need. Let me tell you the reason why. He said, if you'll give to me Test me, try me, prove me, see what I won't do to you. I'm preaching good, and I'm telling you, God will do it. God will do it. Listen to what he said in Proverbs chapter number 3. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. God says in Malachi, try me. Try this. See if it won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings bigger than you're even capable of receiving. See if I'm not able to take the 90% and make it go further than 100%. Then he goes a step further in verse number 11 and he says this. He says that he will rebuke the devourer. These agricultural people had enemies to their crops. Whenever you study this out in the time, they had enemies to their crops. There was flood, there was drought, there was locust, and on we could go. And God said, put me to the test, and I will rebuke these enemies of your finances. Most of us are not farmers, but do we have enemies to our finances? Sure. Absolutely. We've got enemies to it. Watch this. Car repairs, hospital bills, plumbers. You know what I say anymore? If you're not going to tithe and your plumbing goes out, make sure you call a Christian plumber out of our church so the tithe will come back here. That's basing on them tithing, and I believe they do. You preach what he's saying. God says to us. God says to us, and I'm about done. I want you to prove me. I want you to put me to the test and see what will happen. I cannot, matter of fact, this morning, me and Madeline talked a long time about this. I can't explain to you what God has done for me. I wouldn't to the majority because you'd think that I was being arrogant and braggadocious about things. I'm not. Me and Miss Leslie was talking today about some things, and Brother Brian, it just don't make sense. It don't make sense. Let me tell you what it is. It's God proving himself true from his word. Proving himself true from his word. You said, preacher, if I give, does that mean that I'm going to be a multimillionaire? Can I say something? If you can't even give the first fruits off of $100, do you think God can trust you with $1 million? That might be the reason you don't have more than what you've got, because he knows he can't trust us with it to begin with. So what is it? There's a definite proportion. There's a designated place. It's right here in the local church. There's a divine purpose. What is the divine purpose? The divine purpose is simply this. It is what keeps the church functioning. It's what keeps the lights on. It's what pays the bill. It's what takes care of the pastor. It's what takes care. It's not necessarily what takes care of the missionaries. It does to a certain percent because we give 15% of everything that comes in to missions. But the divine purpose is this. Number one, it's to take care of the work of God. But number two, it's to bless you. It's to bless you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless you. Can I ask you a question tonight? How's your giving? How's your giving? You say, preacher, are we about to go broke? Man, we ain't going to go broke at Amazing Grace. God's going to continue to take care of us. Just like he always has. Let me tell you the reason why. Because we try our best to be wise stewards of the Lord's money. He's going to continue to meet our needs just like he always has. This time of the year, yes, things get a little bit tighter than it does any other time of the year because it's this time of the year. But can I tell you something? God's going to continue to bless the church. He's going to continue to bless the church. But the divine purpose is so the church will keep going and so you will be blessed. You're missing out on God's best for your life. But preacher, I'm telling you, I just can't. Try him. Try him. Will you come start playing softly? They'll have some hope. Try him. Try him. You say, well, preacher, how am I to give off of this? You're to give 10%. It's very simple. Off of anything that you, it's clear money that you've earned. You're to give it. You're to give it. I remember, I'll give this illustration again whenever I'm preaching on Faith Promise. But I remember years ago, Daddy was preaching in Kentucky. And he was actually dealing with giving. He was dealing with missions. And he sat down on the platform one night, and the preacher was sitting beside of him. And the preacher looked at him, and he said, you see that man sitting right back there? He said, yeah. He said, I see him. He said, that's one of the biggest givers to our church. Daddy said, well, that's amazing. He said, what's he do for a living? He said, he's just a factory worker down at the mill, just a layman down at the mill. He said, well, ain't that something? Daddy preached that week. The next year he went back. Daddy sat down on the platform. The preacher looked at him and said, you see that man sitting right back there? He said, yeah. He said, I bet he's one of the biggest givers in the church. He said, well, he is. Dad said, does he still work down there at the mill or at the company that he was working at? He said, yeah. Daddy said, is he still just a layman out on the floor? He said, no, he's a supervisor on that floor now. Daddy said, well, isn't that something? The next year, Daddy went back, preached in the same church, sat down on the same platform, same preacher looked over at him and said, hey, see that man sitting right out there? And Dad said, I bet he's one of the biggest givers in the church. He said, yep, I bet he's a supervisor on the floor down there at that place. He said, no, he's actually over that whole area now of that place. Daddy said, that's amazing. Next year, Daddy went back, sat down on the same platform, sat down beside the same preacher. Same preacher looked at him and said, see that same man sitting out there? Daddy said, he's one of the biggest givers in the church. He said, that's right. He said, he's over the whole outfit now. He's the head honcho down there. Daddy said, that's amazing. The next year, Daddy went back. Save you the monotony of the story, the same thing happened. The preacher looked over at Daddy and he said, no, he don't work there anymore. He owns it. The simple truth is this. If you'll do what God said for you to do, He'll bless you. He'll bless you. There's a story that goes like this. In Africa, and let me just back up and say, preacher, why would you say this to us tonight? Because I want God's best for your life. Is that not what a pastor wants, is God's best for his people? I want you to live in God's best for your life. That's the reason I say it. In Africa, there's a certain monkey that is considered a delicacy to eat. They have a proven method for capturing these monkeys. They build a little box, put a hole in the side of the box, and fill the box with nuts and fruit. The hole is just big enough for the monkey to slide his hand through, but once he grabs the food, making a fist, he can't get it back out through the hole. He will stand there for hours rather than to drop the food. As a matter of fact, the story goes on to say, he's so greedy for that food, the natives can actually walk right up to him, hit him in the head, and he would rather commit monkeycide than drop the food. You know what? A lot of times that's the way it is when it comes to us giving to God. We'd rather hold on to every bit of it, not realizing that it's costing us more than what we're getting. He said, prove me. Prove me. Put him to the test tonight. Only you and God knows your heart. Only you and God. No, well, only you and God and Miss Stephanie knows whether or not you're tithing. You may be tithing in cash, and if that's what you do, that's between you and the Lord. But I promise you, it's going to be in a tithing envelope with my name on it because I want the tax deduction at the end of the year. You say, well, I'm not that way. Well, God bless you, I am. But watch this. That's between you and God. But I don't ask you a question tonight. Are you tithing like you should? Are you tithing based on the authority of God's Word? And if not, I want to give you a challenge. I want to give you a challenge. We're right here at the end of the year. I'm going to start pushing towards next year and different things I'd like to see happen next year. Why don't you come to the altar night? And if you come to the altar night, it don't mean that you haven't been tithing, okay? But why don't you come to the altar tonight and say, Lord, now listen to me, it's better to not vow than vow and not pay. But why don't you come? You know what? Whenever we vow to something, whenever we commit to something, puts a little more pressure on us, does it not? Why don't we come to the altar and say, God, with your help starting next Sunday, my 10% is going in the offering plate. And God, I'm going to put you to the test the rest of 2024 and all of 2025. And let me know at the end of 2025 what happens. Put him to the test. That's not me saying it, church. It's God saying it. God say, put me to the test. See what happens to you. See what happens.